Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. When the sun rises tomorrow, Peacock will launch its long-anticipated presentation of the Summer Olympics from Tokyo. One of the NBC Universal-owned Mega Content Ventures' top Olympic attractions will be Tokyo Live, a 5-hour morning potpourri that begins July 24th. Co-host Matt Eisman joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. And we'll have more sports TV conversation, Olympics and otherwise, next half hour with Lloyd Carroll, the popular columnist at the Queen's Chronicle. Also ahead, Loki's looking at season 2, Roku's celebrity talk move, and our latest classic trivia winner. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Verbal, and Apple Podcasts. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Wherever you are, welcome aboard on this Wednesday afternoon to the Pearl About TV's current and future. 88 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. And if you're into sports, I think we got a great hour in store for you. Two wonderful guests, both one from L.A., one here in NYC, and we want you to be interactive with either or both of them. Just give us a call at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. We've also got our chat room in business for you. It's SimonApple04, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. While the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions to be live with you. Matt Eisman is live with us from L.A. after these news notes. A trauma result for Loki, Disney Plus's third scripted series involving Marvel Comics characters. It's the first one to win a second season. The green light comes one day after WandaVision, the first Marvel opus on Disney Plus, picked up 23 Primetime Emmy Award nominations, second among individual series. 5 more nominations were earned by The Falcon and The Winter Soldier. Tom Hiddleston is expected to return in the title role. Roku has a new celebrity talk program up and playing on the Roku channel today. The show Next Door features Fresh Off the Boat co-star Randall Park engaging guests with conversation and games over cocktails. Maker's Mark Bourbon is the sponsor and co-developer. Roku will debut a new episode each week with Tony Hale, Jeannie Ashery, and Terrell Owens, that's the former NFL star, among the guests. Now some quickies. Kevin Hart's talk show, Heart to Heart, H-E-A-R-T, will premiere on Peacock August 5th. Second season alerts, Hulu's Wu-Tang, an American saga, which we featured on this program a couple of years ago, returns September 8th. The other two comes back to HBO Max August 26th. Comedian actress Cristela Alonso will host the CW's Legend of the Hidden Temple. The new version of Nickelodeon's classic adventure game show debuts October 10th. Netflix will turn iconic documentary film Cocaine Cowboys to a multi-hour docuseries August 4th, focusing on the Miami drug trade. And Oscar-winning animator Matthew Cherry of Hair Love fame is developing Batuu, B-A-T-T-U, a tune about two dancing teenagers in Chicago from Warner Brothers Animation, possibly at the Cartoon Network or HBO Max. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Los Angeles, an in-ring exclusive, the co-host of Peacock's Tokyo Live coverage of the Summer Olympics beginning on July 24th, Matt Eisman. Matt, congratulations and welcome in.
Simon, thank you so much. And I have to say, your energy is awesome. You fit right in on American Ninja Warrior.
Thank you, and you are too, Matt. Is it hitting you now that a week from Saturday, you are going to become Peacock's equivalent or co-equivalent of Mike Tirico or Bob Costas?
It is. No, it hasn't, because I think for me, the Olympics have always been such an enormous event, the world coming together to experience it. And I felt, like you said, guys like Bob Costas, Mike Tirico, Al Michaels, the best of the best have been calling it. And to actually go to the Olympics, particularly this year when it is hopefully going to be an Olympics like no other with no fans in the stands whatsoever, to be there and to feel like this really is an event to say the world is starting to come back, that people are going to travel from all over the world here to compete and to show people we're coming out the other side of the pandemic. It feels special, and it feels so incredible to get to be there and to get to witness it. I've watched countless Olympics from my couch, but to actually be there to interact with the athletes, to see these events happening live is going to be incredible.
How did you get the assignment?
question. It's, I'd subtly, not subtly, I've been very actively campaigning to be involved in the Olympics ever since I joined NBC. And it was almost a decade ago when Ninja Warrior made that move from G4 to NBC. And immediately one of my thoughts was, the Ninja Warrior model is somewhat similar to the Olympic model, sports, but with a real storytelling element. On Ninja, we always have to tell the backstory of these athletes and to give you a reason why you care about them. And it's been a long time where I'd had meetings and we danced around. Akbar and I have been involved in some of the Team USA events. And it was over a year and a half ago when we got the call that Peacock was about to launch. It did launch last season, and the Olympics really were going to be the introduction for Peacock. Excuse me, Simon. And when they called and said Akbar and I were going to have a chance to do this show, it just, my head started spinning. So I think all those years of campaigning finally broke through, and we're very lucky that NBC Sports has tapped us to get to be there doing this show.
Jay Polak, one, has just joined our chat room. Thank you so much for joining us. If you have a question or comment for Matt, put it in the room or give a call, 646-652-2906. I understand from Lloyd Carroll, who's going to follow you as our second guest today, that you were in the medical profession before you got the gig to do American Ninja Warrior.
That's correct. I'm a doctor. I'm a licensed physician. I went to medical school, got my MD. I was doing my residency, doing my training, when I realized my heart wasn't in medicine the way it needed to be a great caregiver. And that's when I started looking around, and I decided I needed to take a year off to kind of clear my head and figure out what I was doing with my life. And I had done stand-up comedy a few times in New York and then in Colorado when I was in my training. And I thought, I'm going to go out to L.A., do stand-up comedy for a year, maybe two, come to my senses, and then come back to medicine as an adult and go on to have a career helping others. Instead, I fell in love with performing. I fell in love with having an audience and making them laugh, making them feel a certain way. So I just leapt into it, and I was very fortunate early on to get a break and start into commercials, so I was making money to justify staying, and then I got into hosting, and it's amazing. My first hosting gig was in 2004, hosting a show called Screenplay on E! That show led to a home makeover show on Style Network, Clean House, with Niecy Nash. We ended up doing 5.5 years. We won an Emmy. We did hundreds of episodes. And that led to a sports show on Versus called Sports Soup, a spinoff of The Soup with Joel McHale. We were the sports version. And that was the show that the producers of American Ninja Warrior saw and thought, we want someone who's got energy, who's got a little humor, who knows sports. And that got me American Ninja Warrior, the show that I still host today. We're in season 13. We're going to have a little hiatus as the Olympics happen. And obviously American Ninja Warrior was my entree into the Olympics. So that first hosting gig back in 2004 has led to most of the jobs I have even today.
Matt Eisman from American Ninja Warrior is our guest this first half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised Live from Los Angeles. And starting on July 24th, he will be the co-host of Tokyo Live. That's the five-hour morning potpourri of Olympic live coverage, highlights, and so much more. It'll be on Peacock, available on smart TV sets and smart devices from 6 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. It's 3 to 8 a.m. Pacific Time. If a question or comment for Matt, make the phone ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name is Jay Pollock. One is doing. Simon Apple with you live from New York. Glad to have you with us on the second of three episodes this week of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Coming up Friday on Tomorrow Will Be Televised, our first half hour is going to be quite special. We are expecting a major news announcement to break around noon tomorrow, Eastern Time, which impacts a company we've talked about on this program before. And this announcement also includes this company making a major move in interactive television and hiring an advisor who is a top-performing executive to be part of this situation. Well, we will do on Facebook and Twitter tomorrow, as soon as we get under the embargo, we will bring you that news, and then we will have both the chief executive of the company involved and that performing executive with us live in our first half hour on Friday. And our second half hour, the person who put Burn Notice on the map on USA Network and then the Gifted on Fox, He's back with a new series on Disney Plus. It's Turner and Hooch. It is the new series adaptation of the popular Tom Hanks movie. His name is Matt Nix. He's the creator and executive producer of the program. You'll see him or hear him live Friday as our second half-hour guest. That's all coming your way Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Matt, I was on a call yesterday with Molly Shannon, who is the Molly Solomon, excuse me. Molly, of course, the executive producer of NBC Olympic coverage. And I asked her how she is positioning Peacock. And the thing she impressed upon me was the idea of Peacock and their coverage is to do what the other networks, NBC, CNBC, USA, et cetera, are not providing for viewers. And it sounded like Tokyo Live is going to be sort of like a lab to try all sorts of things. Do you see it that way?
Absolutely. I think one of the great things is, as you mentioned with the timing, you know, New York is 11 hours off of Japan. Now, the majority of NBC and the NBC affiliates coverage will be time shifted. It'll be ending up airing in prime time when obviously most of the viewers are. Peacock, on the other hand, we will be live. For us, we'll be prime time in Tokyo, so 7 p.m. to midnight, and that's when the finales of most of the major events, whether it's gymnastics or swimming or track and field, those will be happening live during our show. So for the hardcore people, those people who don't want it spoiled, who don't want social media news spoiling what happens before primetime, you will be able to watch it all live with Peacock. And that's an awesome opportunity for us to really be showcasing these events as they're happening, have those reactions for the fans who love the Olympics and want to experience it without any hint of what's actually going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Of all the events that your program is going to cover live, what are you most looking forward to?
You know, I've been following the gymnastics very closely, and with Simone Biles having a chance to be the first, repeat all-around winner in over 50 years, it's amazing to see this build. And one of the great things is we're getting a chance to have in studio with us Lori Hernandez, who we actually worked with, Akbar and I did, on American Ninja Warrior Jr. She was our sideline correspondent before she decided to make a run back for the 2020-2021 team. It didn't work out, but we're lucky to get her with us and to have her insight on there and her understanding of how hard it is for these young women to deliver on one moment where you have this one shot. And watching gymnastics, unlike, you know, football or watching track, where you can try harder. With gymnastics, so often it's you start out with perfection and every stumble takes you down. The pressure these young athletes are under, and some of them are 17, 18, 19 years old, to have the poise to deliver at that young age on the biggest stage of their lives with the entire nation watching. I can't wait for that. I also, the 100-meter dash, to have the finals for the men and women happening live during our show, to see who will fill the shoes of Usain Bolt and, you know, Sha'Carri Richardson, unfortunately, won't be competing because of her testing suspension, but to see who steps up for the American women and hopefully can fill that void. It's exciting. It's one of those things where you never know what's going to happen on any given night. And to watch it and to know the pressure for these athletes, this is it. This is the moment that many of them have trained their whole lives for. I can't wait to see how it unfolds.
Yeah. Has Lori given any indication of who might be the male Simone Biles in the men's gymnastics at the Games?
You know, we're looking. Brody Malone, he what a year he's having. He won the NCAAs. He won the United States Open, and then he won the Olympic trials. So he has been operating at a very high level. But we know the men haven't had an all-around winner, that they're just not at the level Simone Biles and the women are. So I think it would be amazing to see how they step up. You know, Sam Mikulic, who's been a six-time U.S. champion, has made the team. He has a lot of international experience. So to see him, I think, be kind of a steadying presence for some of these younger athletes. Now, I think he's 27 years old, which in gymnastics age is considered ancient. So to see how he can guide these younger athletes like Yoel Moldauer and Brody Malone, and to see if they can really reach the heights that we've seen them capable of in the Olympic trials, it would be great. But Simone Biles is in a class all her own. I mean, the greatest of all time, one of the most dominant athletes we've seen. You think of what Michael Phelps did in swimming. It seems Simone is doing in gymnastics. And, you know, again, these athletes typically have won Olympics, and we saw how Simone dominated in Rio. So to try to come back and do it again, and everyone is expecting that. And I think it's hard when you go in, they've pretty much already crowned her the all-around champion and saying she has a chance to win four medals in the individual exercises as well. So anything short of that will be considered a letdown for Simone. That's pressure. That is unbelievable expectations, but so far she's been delivering.
Matt, Molly Solomon said yesterday on the conference call that one of the ways that NBC's coverage, NBC Universal's coverage, because it's more than one network, and Peacock, is going to compensate for the absence of people in the stands is to, for some of the events, bring in live portions of watch parties involving the athletes' families from all over the United States. Are there be any opportunities during your coverage to do that, where, let's say, you have an event going on, and let's bring in, you know, the family of this athlete who's competing right now. What do you think? You know, or anything else that might be an interactive kind of a segment.
Absolutely. So we actually had this problem on American Ninja Warrior. We've now done two seasons since the pandemic began. Our first one, we were in St. Louis. We had an 80,000-seat stadium with nobody in it. We had three athletes allowed near the course at any one time. This is a show that usually has thousands of fans screaming their heads off with families there. So we did something similar. We had jumbotrons every other obstacle where friends and family could watch live. And we actually had speakers on the course so the athlete could hear them. They had microphones to pick up the athlete so they could talk back and forth. We also pumped in crowd noise because we know it's almost like a soundtrack in a movie. People are used to the noise of a crowd, the excitement that it builds, kind of shaping their experience. I don't know if they're going to do that in the Olympics, but I would have no problem with that. And I think that so often when you're not necessarily familiar with a sport, because we don't watch gymnastics all the time, we don't watch badminton, to have the crowd's reaction really helps us understand the drama of what's going on. So NBC has made a huge effort, knowing that this is going to be an Olympics unlike any other, to make sure that all the friends and family have bulletproof internet, they have better cameras, they have microphones, so that we can pull them in to have these interactions. And that's something we absolutely want to do on Tokyo Live, because we know the families are going to be getting up at 3 a.m. to watch their loved ones compete. We want to draw them in, get their reactions, and say, we're watching this unfold live. How is it watching your son or daughter out there to watch your husband or wife competing, to get those reactions and to feel, to understand from the people who've been there, who've seen the sacrifice these people have made, not just in the past year or 4 years, but sometimes for their entire life, to have this moment, they've worked for so hard, come to reality and get to compete finally on this worldwide stage. So we absolutely want to be pulling people in, to pull the families in. We're working hard to make sure that will happen.
Tokyo Live, Peacock's flagship five-hour morning program, kicks off from Tokyo July 24th. That's a week from Saturday. Again, it's 6 to 11 a.m. It's 6 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 to 8 a.m. Pacific Time. We've got Matt Eisman, the co-host of Tokyo Live, with us live from L.A. this half hour. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Tom, I'm with you from the other side of the U.S. of A., New York, 88 degrees at the top of the hour. If a question or comment, many minutes with Matt, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. How do you see your chemistry with Akbar evolving, with both of you taking on these new roles, co-hosting Olympics coverage?
Well, what's great is we've now had 9 years together on American Ninja Warrior. And something we know is, obviously, he played in the NFL. I played college sports. We both appreciate what it's like to be an athlete at a fairly high level, to understand the sacrifice of it. And we've seen it with our ninja athletes. One of the great things is on Ninja Warrior, we don't have to be impartial. We don't have to be neutral observers. We get to be fans. We get to cheer for these athletes. We've built up relationships with them. We talk to them all year long. We've become fans of them. And for he and I to know, we both are very naturally energetic, enthusiastic guys. And that's something, I think, one of the reasons they tapped us for the Olympics, because it's very similar to Ninja Warrior, where these people work so hard on something that may not have these, it's not like NFL where you're getting 7, 8, 9-figure deals, where you're getting sponsorships and huge money thrown around. These Olympic athletes, for most of them, they work hard to get this moment in the spotlight, to hopefully have a medal as something to show how hard they work, these accomplishments. So for he and I, we're excited to bring that chemistry. We actually, he was just over at my house yesterday. We were trying to come up with ways to make this fun. We're hoping to get a lot of athletes to come in studio after their performances and to interact with them. And we want to have fun. We want to play games with them. We want to give them a chance to relax, because we know how stressful it's been. We know how unusual this is going to be, because we're under these pandemic conditions still, where, you know, we get to Tokyo for the first 14 days, we're under lockdown. We can't go anywhere other than our hotel and the Olympic venue. That's it. We're not allowed to go out to restaurants. We're not allowed to even jog outside. So I think the athletes, too, are going to feel this pent-up sense. And once they are done competing and can kindly let their guard down, we're so excited to have them in studio and to share what this experience is, has been like. Because it's not just watching the sports. I think so many people are curious what these athletes have gone through, what it is like being in Japan under these conditions and trying to compete your best while still being concerned about COVID, still being concerned about there are no fans, your friends and family aren't there. You know, you're not interacting with your coach in the same way. And obviously it's the same for every athlete, but these are very unusual conditions to be holding an Olympics in. I think it makes it special, and we're excited, he and I, just to have this opportunity to bring that energy, bring the enthusiasm, to share these stories and really to celebrate what people can do. And I think that's what Ninja Warrior is about, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And that's what we see with the Olympics, these people who, through such hard work, through so much sacrifice. And if you've been watching on Peacock, they have some tremendous documentaries about Golden, where they're following some of these athletes who are trying out for the Olympic gymnastics team, and watching so many of the swimmers, like Reagan Smith, 19 years old, and seeing her schedule, where she's up at 4 a.m. to swim for 3 hours, then goes to school, then comes home, then does another 3 hours in the afternoon. To understand what it's like to not be a normal teenager, but instead to be pursuing something so big, and to have the opportunity to make it all worthwhile, to take home that medal, it's awesome. So we can't wait to get there and to just feel like we get a front row seat to something we'd be watching from home on our couch. We get to be a part of it. So we're just incredibly excited.
You know, there for Peacock, there is a lot riding on this, because ever since Peacock launched, even before it launched last July, it's now a year old, now a year and two, the thinning was that the Summer Olympics were going to be the first big platform to show what Peacock could do as a mega content service in the world of sports. And I'm wondering, how has, for you and Akbar, the American Ninja War experience helped both of you to bring that to Peacock, bring that to your assignment? Has it made the process of learning what you got to do in Tokyo, knowing the athletes, knowing the sports, knowing how the cameras go, everything about the program, has it made the process easier? So I know Mike Tirico and before him Bob Costas and Brian Gumbel, when they talked about being the host of the Olympics, they said, you know, there's a lot of study I got to do to make, you know, my host role work.
Well, it has been months where we've been starting our research, and he and I are both students. On Ninja Warrior, every athlete who competes, we've watched their submission video. We follow them on social media. We interact with them. We talk to them when we get a chance. We read all the bios on them to learn their stories, to learn what makes them tick. And we're doing the same thing here. Now, it is it's an unbelievable scope here with over 40 sports, with thousands of athletes from all around the world trying to understand the storylines and trying to learn sports that we aren't familiar with so that we can have knowledgeable conversations. So it has been nonstop homework, and God bless NBC and their resources, because you know, there's a 900-page handbook on track and field alone, and we're going through it to try to learn the athletes, to learn the history of it, to learn the streaks that are at stake, to understand all of this, because it is an awesome responsibility to have the privilege to get to be one of those people who gets to take part in this Olympic coverage, because this is NBC Universal's one of their biggest prop. When you get to be a part of it, you absolutely want to make sure that you deliver. So he and I have been tirelessly working and in communication, trying to point out things and areas where, you know, we can understand which athletes or you know, have some insight into the sports. So it's a lot. In fact, as soon as I'm done here, I'm going back. I've been doing going through the sports today. It's all about wrestling, learning about the sports and some of the athletes who are going to be competing. So it is a big opportunity here, and to feel like, as you said, I think for Peacock, we're very fortunate to have the opportunity to cover things live. And I remember in Sochi, Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir had the opportunity where they weren't the primetime coverage, but they were the live coverage, and they broke through because they brought so much personality to it. Akbar and I are hoping we can do that with Tokyo Live, to be those people who bring this energy, this knowledge, all the research we've done to make it an incredible experience for those really hardcore Olympic fans who are going to be waking up in California at 3 a.m. to watch this happen live.
And, Matt, when do you and Akbar head to Tokyo?
Saturday. Saturday we go. We've been doing our COVID tests. We've been getting checked out and doing all our paperwork to make sure we can enter the country. Obviously, Japan's taking all the necessary and proper precautions to make sure this is as safe as possible. And he and I are doing our best to make sure we check every dot, every I, and cross every T, and make sure that we get to actually be there and experience it. So it's starting to feel real, because Saturday we jet off to Tokyo.
And Tokyo Live, Peacock's 5-hour flagship morning program from Tokyo, the site of the 2021 Summer Olympic Games, begins a week from Saturday. That's July 24th, 6 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 3 to 8 a.m. That's on the Pacific Time. Check your local listing. By the way, remember that Peacock is available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and in some places available on your local cable system, especially with Comcast. For more details about all of Peacock's coverage of the Summer Olympic Games, which, by the way, begin today with documentary series and much more, go to www.peacocktv.com. That's www.peacocktv.com. And the networks of NBC Universal kick off their coverage of the Summer Olympic Games on Tuesday night on NBC Sports Network with coverage of some of the team sports. Then the opening ceremonies will be live on the Today program on NBC, and that will be next Friday. Again, for all the details about that, NBCOlympics.com. It's NBCOlympics.com. And for more on Peacock's coverage, www.peacocktv.com. Matt Eisman, you and Akbar have a fantastic time in Tokyo. Thank you for making the time to be with us this Wednesday. All the very best to you and Akbar and your entire NBC Sports crew for a great, great time in Tokyo.
Simon, thank you. Thank you for your energy. Thank you for the opportunity to share with people what we're going to be doing. I hope people give us a chance. I hope people wake up and check it out and watch these events happen live with us.
You got it, Matt. It's been a pleasure. And your energy and Akbar's energy, I've seen you both on Ninja Warrior. Fantastic. Take care. All the greatest from Tokyo.
Thanks, Simon. All right, bye-bye.
Matt Eisman, co-host of Tokyo Live, joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, we'll have more about the Olympics coverage from Lloyd Carroll, the popular sports and TV columnist from the Queen's Chronicle, and we'll talk about some other sports things, too, including a tribute to Marv Albert, who wrapped up his incredible play-by-play career late last month. All of that coming your way after we pause. Oh, and by the way, our classic trivia question winner, we got a new one for you. We'll give that winning answer, too. That's all coming up after we pause the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, streaming.com, tune.com. Together, reach over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Incidentally, BTR has a show anniversary today. It's I Love Sports. Check it out tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. The 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, I Love Sports. Big anniversary episode coming your way. Congrats to them and the crew right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, our sporting edition this Wednesday afternoon. Simon with you live from New Weather York. where it is 88 degrees at the top of the hour. And joining me here in the Big Apple, the popular sports and TV columnist and a good friend from the Queens Chronicle, Lloyd Carroll. Hi, Lloyd.
Hey, Simon. Thank you. I tell you, listening to your promos, John Mosqueda had nothing on you in his prime. I mean, you really know how to get them out.
Oh, yeah, I can't go as fast as he does when he gets his promos going, but, boy, that man is something. But thank you for the reference to him. It's an honor and a privilege.
And I get to follow Dr. Eisman. He went to Columbia Physicians and Surgeons. I only did Columbia undergrad, so he certainly has me beat on that. It was a fascinating interview, actually. I really admire what he has to do to be able to do 5 hours a day and cover from the obviously the big name sports to the more esoteric. He's going to certainly earn his Comcast salary for this.
I'll tell you, he and Akbar, and I've seen them both on American Ninja Warrior, which was on Monday nights, by the way, on NBC, local NBC
sure.
station, that he has a lot of energy, and he really and the format for Ninja, it seems, was just right for him to speed up the learning process for his role on Tokyo Live. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, thinking about American Ninja, that, you know, they say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. It seems like every network has come up with an obstacle course show based on the success of American Ninja. It's a genre that doesn't really get a lot of publicity, but it's hard. It's just amazing how many. I mean, from Dwayne Wade's The Cube, Kevin Hart had one last year. I mean, it just is absolutely amazing how many of these kind of shows exist, and they really don't get a lot of attention, at least from the mainstream media.
And don't forget Telemundo's program, Exalt in United States, the Exalt in format, which is very much like Ninja Warrior, which is now in its umpteenth season. It's a two-hour show every night on Telemundo on Spanish-language broadcast stations, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time, and it just seems to get better and better in the ratings.
Well, that's amazing. It's good to see they're getting away from the telenovelas and trying something different. So great. Happy to hear that.
Yeah. So anyway, what's your overall thinking about how NBC's networks are going to do with the Olympic coverage this year, given the TV environment we've got right now and given the situation in Tokyo where no fans in the stands?
You know, that is a very compelling question, and you could see it going either way. I mean, this is I could see where the curiosity factor of having no fans. I went through this last year with baseball, but this is different when it's an Olympics. And I get the feeling that it's going to draw more marginal people, people who may not be sports-oriented, but they're kind of curious, how is this going to play out? As you point out, are they going to pump in crowd noise? Are we even going to know, are we going to see empty seats, or are the cameras being told, just concentrate on the athletes? I wonder if they'll even put in cardboard cutouts like they did in baseball just to make it look better, better visuals. So this is going to be very interesting, at least in the short run. We'll see over 14 days that the novelty wears off. But I can see in the first few days the ratings being sky high. Having said that, I also wonder if perhaps because of COVID that there may be a certain fatigue of having to be reminded of the pandemic, just when hopefully everybody's getting their vaccines and we should be getting out of it. It's it's almost mind-boggling that Tokyo or Japan is in the situation that it's in. I'm not sure why they have not gotten the vaccines or if there's something else going on there, but it's absolutely shocking the problem they're having over there.
If any have a question or comment for Lloyd, our guest from the Queens Chronicle, where he is a dynamite columnist there, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04. But don't forget, coming up before the top of the hour, we'll announce our new classic trivia segment winner and the answer to that question. And we'll have a new question for you, by the way, on next Monday's show. When I was on the line yesterday with Molly Solomon, I asked her, how is Peacock being positioned? Is it being positioned as the ultimate Olympic viewing destination, given that it's on smart TV sets and smart devices, given what you can do with a mega content service like Peacock, everything from interactivity segments to the fact that you have far less commercials every hour, 5 minutes or less, compared to so many commercial breaks and so many commercials in the breaks on NBC and USA and CBC and so forth. And while she sidestepped, not giving a yes or no, what she
right.
did say was that Peacock is being used as sort of a, here's what we're not providing everywhere else, on our other networks, and we can sort of use Peacock as this lab to try things.
Well, it makes sense.
I answer this question because if you break down the networks, NBC's ratings for Olympic coverage have gone down. They've gone down every Olympic, and it's not because of the coverage. The coverage has been fantastic, no question about it. I think more of it has been the IOC's stupid decision a number of decades ago to go from Winter and Summer Olympic Games the same year in 4 years to Olympics every 2 years, so the specialist is out. Part of it is the stupid, I think, decision to have some of the events happen before the opening ceremonies, which sort of gives the opening ceremonies sort of a second-class attraction kind of status. But the other thing is, you know, we're not in the air anymore where if the Olympics are on a broadcast network, the other broadcast networks play dead. Now you have Netflix, you have Hulu, you have Amazon, and so on and so forth. There's more competition than ever before. So you wonder, you know, could Peacock be the saving grace for how we see Olympics on television?
Well, you made some pretty good arguments on that. I think Molly Solomon's absolutely right that this way they can overserve the hardcore sports fan who can't get enough of the Olympics. I think Matt talked about how somebody wants to wake up 3 in the morning and see what's going on. We can use Peacock for that, where NBC certainly wouldn't bother with it. What I find curious, I don't know if Molly Solomon talked about this, but the imminent departure of NBC Sports Network, because if anything kind of shows the growth of streaming and kind of the obituary for cable sports networks, it would be that story that kind of has gotten lost in the whole Olympic shuffle here. I was wondering if that came up, Simon.
It did not. It did not.
Wow.
This is like NBC Sports Network's last hurrah. It's Olympic Channel's first hurrah in terms of covering events.
Sure.
But no, what was really big on the call yesterday was, you know, how are you going to deal with the lack of a crowd? How are you going to get, you know, substitute the sound? They also had some of the analysts on to talk about, you know, how is Simone Biles going to do, you know, et cetera, you know, who is the other U.S. like major stories and so forth.
Yeah, NBC seems to be force-feeding the story about that. He may live up to the hype, I don't know, but this Caleb Dressel, they're making him sound like he's Mark Spitz and Michael Phelps rolled into one, and none of us really, unless you're a hardcore swimming fan, really know anything about it. They're really putting a lot of chips on this guy. It seems as if NBC, though, is ignoring our national pastime, USA Baseball. Now, we're not having, obviously, our top players there, but there are some recognizable names, including the very telegenic Todd Frazier, who, besides playing for the Mets and the Yankees, played on the Little League World Series. He's certainly going to be a media fixture for years to come. I could see him having a career in broadcasting. I'm surprised they really haven't utilized him in promoting baseball in the Olympics. It's kind of been an afterthought. We all know about basketball, but it seems like baseball is kind of an afterthought. Unlike basketball, the USA team is not exactly a lock to win this.
Yeah. By the way, one of the things that Molly and her production team should get tremendous credit for is that particularly this year with this Olympics, Lloyd, they went outside the box in terms of announcers, play-by-play and analysis. For example,
sure.
Beth Mowins, who's I think one of the best play-by-play people around with her work on ESPN, she's going to be doing the softball, doing softball with Jessica Mendoza, who's ESPN's female baseball analyst. I think that's a great move. They picked up people from Fox Sports, other people from ESPN, other people from Independence. They have not just done their own crew. They're really taking some great gambles on other people coming in as the commentators. And, of course, Andres Contor doing both English and Spanish coverage of soccer.
Oh, goal. All right, there you go. That's good to hear. I'll tell you who's we should also keep an eye on, an up-and-comer who's not with Comcast normally. Ian Eagle's son, Noah Eagle, will be doing some, I think, 3-on-3 basketball and other high-profile things. So I think he's a comer. I know that second-generation sports announcers are almost, you know, from the days of Joe Buck and others, Kenny Albert. It just seems like we kind of take it for granted. Noah Eagle is really good. Ian's really a great guy, too, besides being a terrific broadcaster. So I'm really happy to see that.
Yes, I saw his work on the Nickelodeon NFL playoff game. We had the according producer for that coverage on CBS on our show earlier this year. It did very, very well, and I thought Noah's performance was sensational. He is a chip-off Ian Eagle. He is going to be a fantastic sportscaster, and I think it's great.
And it's funny, they won
again,
a sports Emmy.
He's getting a shot.
Yep. Yeah, and that production won a sports Emmy. So, you know, obviously a lot of people took notice. I have to admit, that was probably the only NFL playoff game I watched from start to finish, including the Super Bowl. So they knew how to bring in the marginal consumer, and that was brilliant. I hope they do it again.
Yeah. One more thing. We learned after that conference call yesterday that Comcast cable subscribers have an opportunity to do a very personalized version of the Olympics, where they'll be able to do playlists of, let's say, the sport coverage or the athlete coverage they want to see. They may be able to call up stats and medal counts. This is really for their Xfinity and Flex customers. I was surprised that Peacock was not going to do that, because there was talk early on that Peacock was going to do some interactive features along that line. But I think this is a story to watch. And if this works for Comcast cable customers, if they take this in big numbers, I think Peacock will maybe bring this to their coverage of the Winter Olympics next year in Beijing, assuming, of course, that it does get covered because of the USA's relationship with China.
Well, there's a lot riding here, and that, and of course, COVID. Somehow, China is still people still associated with that pandemic, right? I don't want to get political, but yeah. You know, that's still an issue. So, yeah, it is to be seen how this is all going to play out here.
Mm-hmm. And again, the coverage of Peacock is now running. It runs starts tomorrow with sports documentaries and also sports. I should point out that another Peacock attraction will be a nightly show on women's sports. I think it's on either 6:30 or 7 p.m. Eastern time for a half hour. And much, much more, too, on Peacock. Remember, it's available on smart TV sets and smart devices and someplace on your local cable operator, including Comcast, parent company of NBC Universal. And NBC Universal's coverage of the Olympics begins next Tuesday night on NBC Sports Network, opening ceremonies on NBC live in the morning on the Today Show on Friday, next Friday, and then in primetime as well. What's your favorite non-Olympic sports TV story right now?
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about the ESPY Awards that took place. I'm not sure it's the biggest one, but I was watching some. Did you catch the ESPY Awards on Saturday at all?
I did a little bit. I know a friend of mine who went there who really enjoyed it. And I understand that the ESPYs only had like 1.1 million viewers on a Saturday.
Well,
Saturday night.
I mean, to be fair, you know, it's funny. It was a very low-key and a more somber ESPYs that I could ever remember. I mean, I'm glad they came back to New York. I was completely unaware they were even in New York. And I think one of the reasons for the low ratings, most of us always assume the ESPYs always take place the day after the All-Star game. That was always, but because of the whole NBA schedule, and there's obviously game four tonight, they kind of got thrown around. It was ESPN itself didn't even have the ESPYs. They gave that to ABC, which normally sounds like a step up in class for the ESPYs because broadcast over cable, I'm still old school that way. But I think that it just, because of the Saturday night, it's just become such a graveyard for broadcast. And I never understood why. Saturday night has become a graveyard for broadcasting. The ESPYs themselves were kind of somber. They were pretty serious. A lot of time was devoted to Maya Moore, the former WNBA great, working on prison reform and prosecutorial misconduct specifically. A lot of time was devoted to the very inspiring story of Chris Nikic, a 20-year-old who has Down syndrome that was able to complete an Ironman triathlon. And these were great stories, but it just seemed as if because of COVID, where you saw on that rooftop, everybody still sitting quite a ways from each other, kind of socially distanced. I'm not even sure if the ESPYs even invited media to come down. I didn't get an invite. It's okay. It just seemed a lot different, more somber. The host, Anthony Mackie, who's a very good actor, was absolutely atrocious as the host. I mean, he was laughing at his own jokes that were bombing. It seems like they change hosts every year. I would not go back to Anthony Mackie. Billy Crystal to the Oscars, he wasn't to the ESPYs. I'll just say that to be kind.
Mm-hmm. Changing the subject, Marv Albert wrapped up an incredible play-by-play career with the coverage of the NBA Eastern Conference Finals on TNT. I thought what he said at the end was very classy. What do you think he will be best remembered for?
Well, it depends what part of the country you're in. If you're from, you know, this part here in the Northeast and the New York City area, it's always going to be the New York Knicks Game 7 of the 1970 championship game between the Lakers and the Knicks. I think even Albert himself would say that's probably what he would point at. I think if you look at it, next to perhaps Howard Cosell, I'd say Marv Albert is the most imitated sportscaster by comics in history. I won't even do a yes, but it just seems like that's certainly going to be part of the you know, the Marv Albert legacy, that he was able to go beyond the traditional sports world. You'd see him on Letterman. He was even on Carson once. He reached that kind of pinnacle. And having met Albert a couple of times, he's a guy who surprisingly doesn't really like talking about himself, is a very good sidekick in that sense. But unlike Howard Cosell, he doesn't really have a very big ego, prefers actually to talk about the event and not really talk about himself. I thought what he said at the end was terrific when he talked about what he's going to do in retirement, and you actually could believe it. They travel, he talked about family, reading. Yeah, he admitted, sure, it's going to be that itch may come back, but at least he sounds like a guy who's made peace with it. And I think about Albert's retirement, and I know that we're talking about tomorrow who will be televised, but to jump into the radio world for a second, Mark Chernoff, who had been running CBS Sports Radio, WFAN for ages, now it's part of Odyssey, they keep changing names every week. He recently, quote, retired, unquote. And it was interesting listening to him the last day he was on the job, June 30th, Craig Carton and Boomer Esiason, their old morning team, even though they're separated now because one's in the morning, one's in the afternoon. For that day, they came back, worked together, and they were interviewing Chernoff. And Chernoff did not talk about the things that Marv Albert did, that is, looking forward to spending more time with the family, traveling, engaging in hobbies that he couldn't do. He actually said, well, I was surprised to hear him say this, well, my career's not over, I'm looking forward to the next chapter, which to me indicated, unlike Marv Albert, who certainly went out on his own terms, which I assume he did, although he never knew with Warner Media, but it appeared that he did, Chernoff did not quite have the same experience. So I thought that was kind of interesting, just the timing of those two retirements.
By the way, Chernoff really should get credit for being one of the architects of sports radio, not just in New York with WFAN, but also across the country in terms the balance of talent that he had, how he used the balance of talent, and by the way, Ian Eagle was a byproduct of WFAN because he started as a talk show host there. And a lot of other good people like Joe Tolleson, who's the now the soccer announcer on NYCFC games on the YES Network, so on and so forth. A lot of great talent came out of WFAN. But going back to Marv,
sure.
What I remember him for is his work ethic, the fact that he was a great partner to no matter who you put next to him, whether it's Freddie Pacheco on boxing or Mike Fratello, the czar of the Telestrator, or Reggie Miller or Chris Webber in recent years on basketball, Bucky Walters on college basketball games on NBC. He was great. He didn't make too much of the yes and yes, and it counts. He knew when to do it. He knew when not to. And more importantly, his play-by-play calls were right on the money, no matter what sport he was doing. And he was also willing to put a little humor in. Like, for example, if one of his partners made a crazy comment, he'd go like, Mike, the czar of the Telestrator, trying some humor here. And it worked. He could take that dig in, but not be a negative dig. But a positive dig. And it just seemed that he had this great rapport with no matter who his analyst was. And that's the mark of a great play-by-play person.
You know, I actually remember we're talking about Letterman and Carson. Actually, one of the skits, the early days of Saturday Night Live, Marv Albert was going one-on-one with he was calling Paul Simon, going one-on-one with Connie Hawkins in, like, the first year of SNL. Absolutely, if you can see that on YouTube, that is absolutely hysterical. You know, Paul Simon, Paul's Mean Julio down in the schoolyard, and Simon was actually a very good baseball player at Forest Hills High School, but basketball was not going to be quite his thing going up against Connie Hawkins, but it was a very nicely done skit.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, if you get a chance, read a book. It may be around a bookstore called But Tonight I Have a Game. Marv wrote that book when he was also doing nightly sportscasts on WNBC, the NBC flagship station here in New York. And he would do both 6 and 11. And sometimes he would have a Rangers game or either a radio or television or a Knick game on the Madison Square Garden Network to do it. And really amazing streak. So, Marv, wherever you are, congratulations on a fantastic career. You're one of the very best. and one of the most versatile, and I wish you the very best. And I think a lot of fans wish you the very, very ultimate best, no matter whatever you decide to do from this point in.
I'd like to say one thing. Marv, he has two brothers who are excellent broadcasters. They kind of get overlooked because of, obviously, their oldest brother, Al Albert and Steve Albert. Al Albert used to do old New York Nets basketball games, and I think later on did Denver Nuggets games. And Steve Albert has been around the New York market, and before he retired, he was doing Phoenix Suns games. Both very good, different styles. They didn't try to copy each other. Maybe there was a little bit of that Albert Navel-esque quality in the voice, but just very good broadcasters. They had their own style, and they would have, even if Marv wasn't their brother, they would have been very successful. This wasn't a case of nepotism with these guys in terms of of being what they, how successful they were in their careers. So I think just kind of like Dom DiMaggio and Vince DiMaggio were overshadowed by Jolton Joe, that's probably the same case here with Steve and Al and, with Marv.
Yeah, and let's not forget Kenny Albert, who is doing a very good job on the NBC coverage of the Stanley Cup, and hopefully we'll continue to hear him on both the national and the local level down the road. Before we leave you, Lloyd, who's your play-by-play talent to watch, like the up-and-comer you see, like destined for big stardom nationally?
Well, again, I mentioned, I kind of gave this away before, Noah Eagle would seem to be on that trajectory of being pretty successful. So we're going to see here, if that's the case, a local guy, if you're looking for really deep under the radar screen, a guy named Greg Caserta, who is the play-by-play voice for the Trenton Thunder, came, did some work with Ed Coleman on WFAN, I'm sorry, WCBS for a Mets weekend game and held his own. So I always admire the guys who work at those minor league broadcasts where you really learn the craft. The money certainly is there. You're doing it for the love of the game, but you also really develop skills that will help you down the road. So, he may be a guy to keep an eye out for.
Yeah. I'm going to say Kevin Kugler, who many people may know is a Sunday Night Football play-by-play person on Westwood One's coverage. We've done WFAN on Sunday nights, most Sunday nights, when they don't have a local game. But he had a great time this last season as being one of the Sunday afternoon announcers on CBS. I thought it was a great promotion for him. I think he is terrific. I love the way he handles play-by-play. I like the fact that he summarizes where the game is at after a touchdown. He's got a great gift for that. And I see big things for him. I see him being next Kevin Harlan.
Yeah. He's also doing Fox, I believe, some Fox games. I think I've seen him on some Fox or FS1 Saturday afternoon games when I've tuned in. So, yeah, he's a busy guy. Certainly that's a good pick there, Simon.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lloyd. And
my pleasure.
If you want to catch Lloyd's wonderful work for the Queens Chronicle and you're not in the area of Queens, New York, well, here's where you can go online. It's www.qcron.com. That's www.qcron.com. And if you haven't checked out his work, you ought to. He is one of the best in the world of sports columnists, particularly when it covers sports TV, not just the teams, but the sports coverage of the teams. Lloyd, pleasure to have you back. Let's do this again very, very soon. We missed you. You were with us.
Simon,
like
I appreciate that. I appreciate our time together. We, hopefully we'll have to give Rick Morris a call and do this down the road, maybe in the fall.
The head of the FBH Sound, who we had, by the way, on early this year. Love it when you're on with me and him, and let's make it happen.
Very good. Thank you very much, Simon. A pleasure and an honor. Thank you.
You're welcome, Lloyd. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the week. Lloyd Carroll from the Queens Chronicle joining us live here in New York. Our classic trivia question winner and the answer coming your way, but first the words of the fine folks at audible.com. Do you want to improve yourself? I'm talking about not only the body but the spirit. Well, there's an audiobook for you that you can get with a trial run at audible.com that can help you do just that. It's called The Energy Paradox by Stephen Gondry, someone who knows how to build up energy not just in your body, but in your spirit. And if you want that book, here's how you do it. Get a one-month trial with audible.com. You know, audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device, whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, etc. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, one-month trial, health and wellness information while it lasts, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And remember, if you're an Amazon Prime member already, great luck. Two audiobooks for your trial of one. One of them could be the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio podcast series and productions, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one woman and one man performances. All yours, but you got to get that trial first. You can do so at audibletrial.com/televised. Make a great gift for someone you know. or yourself any time of the year. And now time for our classic trivia segment. And we have a brand new winner, our fourth one in 6 weeks. It's Roger Williams from New Canaan, Connecticut. And he got the answer to this question we posed a week and a half ago. Dexter's Laboratory was the first original Cartoon Network half-hour series back in 1996. What was the second that came out in 1997? The answer was Johnny Bravo. Yes, there were several Cartoon Network series that came out in the half-hour format around that time. It was also I Am Weasel and Cow and Chicken. Johnny Bravo, however, was first in that bunch and the second overall. And Roger Williams got that from New Canaan, Connecticut, and he is going to win the Watermark Paris pen and case. I understand from his email he's going to give it to his son. So congratulations, Williams Jr. You are going to get that wonderful gift from your father, and that's really, really great. We're going to get that gift out to you, Roger, ASAP. So we're going to have a new classic trivia question for you on Monday's episode. If you heard the correct answer, well, email me like Roger did. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name where you're emailing from. First the direct answer, you win. And if we don't get a winner by end of day Monday, post the question Tuesday morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in, so do so. And all the rest, once again, congratulations to Roger Williams of New Canaan, Connecticut for being our latest winner. Remember, tomorrow afternoon, hopefully Eastern time, we will bring you that special breaking news development, and we'll tell you who our guests are for that first half hour. What I can tell you is that this breaking news development could be a major universe changer in the world of interactive television, and that the company behind this news has already hired an advisor to help with this venture, and that advisor is one of, until recently, one of the top leading program executives in television. We will have the company chief executive and this advisor on our show live Friday during our first half hour. And our second half hour, from the new Disney Plus TV series, Turner and Hooch, creator executive producer from Burn Notice fame, Matt Nix. That's all Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Again, I want to thank Lloyd Carroll. I want to thank Matt Eisman for being here from Los Angeles. Good luck with him and his crew for his coverage of the Peacock Summer Olympic Games starting next Saturday, 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern time. And remember, again, you want to catch the coverage, more details, PeacockTV.com, Peacock on smart TV sets and smart devices, also NBCOlympics.com. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcasts. They're available on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Virgle, iRadio Podcast Network. And remember our new website, Tomorrow Be Televised at podsite.io. That's tomorrowbetelevised.podsite.io. Want to hear what you think about it? You can leave a comment at the bottom of the screen. If you have a question or comment about today's episode, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. We do respond to what you have to say because what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants. Like I said, those of Blog Talk Radio and the distributors of this program. Andy Toth, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. Website service provided by PodSite, the new internet avenue for podcasts. For more details, go to podsite.io. Our web coordinator is guitarist Patris. Tomorrow Be Televised, brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two or much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your midweek. We are back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Sticker, TuneIn Radio, plus Amazon Music, Verbal, Apple Podcasts, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're seeing now and then, please make it safe. And, of course, make it great. Why not? Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.